Hey, what's going on? Welcome to the Mile High Five podcast. I'm Doug Cunnington, and this is a very exciting update. I'm able to bring Elizabeth, my wife, for an update on her retirement. We have many questions from the Facebook group, a few questions of my own. And Georgie, the dog, is joining us. You'll hear in the sound check, we're like at an Airbnb right now. And Georgie's like, you need to be playing with me. So if you hear some noise, some fetching noises, or some like barking and growling and playing, it's Georgie. It's not us. So Elizabeth, how are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing really well. And just how is all the retirement stuff going and how long has it been?
It has been a little over a year, I guess, a year and a few months, and it's going great. Love it. Unabashedly.
You love it. Is it more than you expected?
Yes. Yeah.
How so?
You know, it's still scary. It's still scary to not have an income coming in, really, for the first time in my life. I had a couple breaks in between jobs a few times, but I was always going back to work. And so it's a huge mind shift. And I do struggle with that sometimes, especially on days where maybe I don't have as much to do, or I have a little bit more time to get in my own head. But overall, it's great.
Very good. And we recorded, you talked about trying to have some structure to the day and to your week to make sure you had certain activities going. Where's that at now? Some people really related and actually had a similar approach where they were like, there's these different areas that I want to spend time and effort on. So are you still doing that? How did it work out?
I'm not doing it too much anymore. I'm really trying to lean into the lazy days where I don't have anything going on and treating it as more of a luxury than thinking I need to fill this up. I think having sort of one thing a day to anchor me has worked out really well. Doesn't matter when in the day it is, but just being like, okay, I have this one thing. And then the other thing, if I'm bored, and I may have said this before, there's always something to clean. Mm-hmm. There's always something to clean. And honestly, you've been cleaning more, I think, since I've been cleaning more. Because as we know, there's a scorecard in marriage for just about everything.
Everything. Yeah. And an approach I have, I want to try to do what feels like 80%. And that way I know I'm contributing enough. So you think I'm doing about 80% of the work or so?
Do you think you're doing 80% of the work?
I mean, that's what we're striving for.
I think we have a pretty good, breakup of the chores. But we joke about it. If one of us sees the other one cleaning a bunch, we'll say you're trying to get ahead for the weekend or whatever.
And it doesn't matter like what day of the week it is. Like it's like Tuesday.
Yeah.
Which actually, this is one thing I've noticed we both do now. It's hard to tell what day it is. Can you talk about that a little bit? Like, why is that?
Well, weekends used to be so premium, right? You don't have to get up in the morning. You don't have to go to work. And so I think weekends were something to really look forward to. And like every day is a weekend. And every day I have that flexibility. I did have the anchor of Wednesdays for curling. I'm on a curling club that doesn't meet in the summer times. And so I think maybe that kind of helped, because when you curled, you knew it was Wednesday, but I don't really have an anchor now. So what was it, like Tuesday? I woke up and I thought it was Saturday. And
yeah.
Doesn't even matter.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting. And I don't know. I mean, we just have to like remember. And sometimes the other part is like it's summer, and then like we go to the gym and sometimes it'll be crowded, but it's on a weird day. So it's like Tuesdays are super crowded, but I don't know why. And it's like, oh, did school just get out? Or is there some activity at camp or whatever? Okay. Very good. We have a bunch of questions here. Okay. So we'll go through them. I didn't read you any of these, right?
Nope.
Okay.
I have to go off the
Yep.
Cuff.
So you can pause to think. You also have a cool, you saw some meme that you want to share. So we'll save that towards the end.
Okay.
And all that stuff. So some really good questions in here. So this is James. I'll just say it is from the Facebook group. Thanks for everyone that contributed. So James C. says, how has the amount of time you spend managing your finances changed since retirement? And maybe you could tell us how much you were spending before and then where it is now.
I don't think we spent a ton of time managing our finances before. I think I would say it's probably pretty similar. You know, always had a goal, always had sort of a monthly budget and check-in to see where things are standing. I think if I had to say, I don't call it managing my finances, but one thing I need to do better is to quit looking.
But it hasn't changed. Like you looked before and you're looking about the same amount now.
No, I think maybe I'm looking more now.
Okay, yeah. Looking at different stuff. Or when you're looking at new stuff.
Like looking at the stock market. You know, we're working with a financial advisor now, which before we didn't have. That's a good point. Before we didn't have one cohesive view of everything, and we have a cohesive view of everything now, and I kind of like to go on there and just reassure myself that we're not going broke, which we're not, and I know we're not. I like to look at the stock market, and I would say I probably look at least once a day, which is bananas. So I'm trying to do better with that. So I think I probably spend about the same amount of time, but I don't think I was ever really heavy before. Like I never was a frequent trader.
Yeah, you're just looking at the portfolio. You're not making moves. You want one activity from the advisor was to simplify, because you for a stretch you were doing single stocks. This was early when you were first getting started. So you had single stocks and you simplified a lot of that. So you sold and then went into index funds, and then you also reallocated a pretty decent amount into bonds. So, and you're smiling. And
I don't even really remember. Yeah, I don't even really remember. Yeah, I was a day trader for like 2 weeks. That's why I'm laughing. Like I thought I was going to be a day trader.
Yeah.
Which I don't even know where I got that.
You read a book.
Head.
And you got a bunch of books and did research. I remember you went to the library.
Well, I was a day trader, I think, before I read the book. I just thought it would be fun. And I took like 10 grand and like bought some stocks.
Gotcha.
And I was like, this is cool. But yeah, anyway, so no, I don't think we've ever really, quote unquote, managed our finances heavily.
So, similar, this is from Michael H. Thank you for this question. We actually have two. So, first one is, how did you get so lucky to end up with Doug? That's what it says.
Did I really say that?
Yeah, it says it right there.
For real? So we were just talking about this on our hike this morning. Doug and I both had one fairly long-term relationship right before we met. And, you know, no shade on the other people that we were with. Or I'll put shade on the guy I was with. I'm glad I didn't end up with him. We both had gotten out of relationships where I think we just weren't with the right person. And I think we met each other and we were just like, good enough, like good enough. This guy seems pretty nice.
Let's settle.
Let's settle. And you were like, not only is she nice.
Pretty.
Yeah, there it is. And Doug really wanted me to think he was funny, which obviously I still do.
Yeah. So that worked out. Good question, Michael. Thank you for asking. This one's somewhat related to the last one, because it's a bit of a two-parter. So what would you tell another wife that is similarly worried about the lack of regular paychecks? And here's the related one. So that's part one. And then did April's quick downturn scare you? So maybe you could answer that first, because it sort of calls back to your previous answer.
So I don't know if I even remember exactly what April's downturn was, but I remember things not looking awesome at some point earlier in the year. It didn't scare me because I don't think we ever went super below where we looked when I retired. And so I've been taking like sort of screenshots of a certain projection over time to look at. It got my attention, that's for sure. And I think one thing we're struggling with our financial advisor is like, these are different perspectives. One, I want to know when I need to start panicking because I'm already pretty much like 75% there. I live it.
You're panicked.
Yeah, I live you're almost like, panicked. Yeah. I'm live ready to panic at any moment. And you want to know when can I like open the floodgates and start spending
money. When do we spend more? Our money. Yeah.
So did it scare me? It didn't scare me, but I think only, well, one, I don't know when to be scared, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. And two, I think we've done a really good job looking at the long term, even though self-admittedly, I just said I look at the stock market every day. I think we know we're in a plane at 30,000 feet. And if we start to crash, there's going to be lots of time to adjust. I'm glad it didn't continue. And I'm glad that I think we're looking better than we were in April. So yeah.
Okay.
Is that a good answer? Did it scare you?
No.
I know.
Well, the thing is, we...
I get scared enough for the both of us.
So a couple things. I was going to say, like, I could... For many of the other questions, I'll just stay out of the way. But, like, for this one, I'll speak up. So, basically, I believe our...
Get out of here.
Our expectations... Sorry for all the noise. Georgie and Elizabeth are playing. And it is part of the, it's part of our life.
She's my baby.
So basically we have enough padding both for...
Lay down.
Here, we'll stop.
I'm listening. This is anytime I try to tell Doug something serious, he'll be like petting Georgie and whispering in her ears. And then I'll be like, are you listening to me? And he'll go... Yes, I'm listening. I guess I am doing it for your listeners.
One thing. So for the entertainment purposes, I have to tell you, I want to edit this out so bad, but Elizabeth, talk to the camera and we're bringing you in inside the family here. So it was only while I was talking. So try not to talk over me, please. You know, we've gone over this so many times. Chris, I want you to leave this in. I want people to see.
If anybody wonders why I'm not on the podcast more.
Hold on. You were like, can we play? And I was like, yes, you can. But just while only one person talking at a time, please. Okay. We'll see how...
Don't touch me.
For the people listening, I touched her hand by accident. So she thought I was trying to make up. All right. We're going to reel this back in.
I don't even know what we're talking about.
Our projections and our plan, I believe it's very robust. And the fact is, you're looking on a daily basis, which is totally fine. But you also know, even though there is a downturn, like we don't need that money for 10 or 15 or 20 years. So it's like, you're not... thinking, hey, we need to sell and change our ways or anything like that. It's more like, okay, we weren't planning on doing a $12,000 cruise vacation for 1 week. And we're not going to all of a sudden do that. We're also not planning on making major adjustments because everything is like our expenses are where we're happy with it. And it's also something that fits within the plan. And we don't need to adjust in any kind of major way in the short term. So even though you're looking, you're not panicking. I'm not panicking.
Just to clarify, though, we do need all our money now. And I'm only saying this because it came up in a different podcast that we've talked about. Like, we are drawing down.
Right.
Like, I mean, we're not.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, we. Yeah. Like.
Yeah.
We,
so I'm selling. Yeah. Just for the reference point. I'm selling a small amount. You have more cash on hand. I don't. I had more invested. So I'm selling. It's not anywhere close to 4% per year.
No, but
I am selling each month. I have a calendar reminder and I'm selling several thousand dollars per month.
Yeah, we are. Yeah. I just wanted to clarify that. We're not.
Yeah, we are drawing down. We're not like living on.
Yeah, not income. Living on current income.
Which is a keynote. Thank you for bringing that up. That was a really good podcast move. Okay, so the real part of the question is, what would you tell another wife that is similarly worried about the lack of regular paychecks?
Another wife? It has to be just a wife, not a person?
That was the question that, you know, Michael might be thinking about his wife, hypothetically. What advice would you give other wife to wife?
Wife to wife. I think the reason that I'm okay without the regular paycheck is because of all the due diligence we did as we leaned up, as we came up to this. We did a lot of planning, and I got to a point that I was comfortable with, I guess. I don't know. I think not having regular income like is just like flat out scary for some people. I think some people can live differently. I'm not one of those people. So as we know thyself is a one of my favorite things. So, you know, understand what you need and get to that. And then now that we're here, we have no guarantees in life, as we talk about how we're hearing more and more people in their 30s and 40s with various cancer diagnoses. So,
all around us, yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And I think that was another thing with the downturn in April, and then me working through some of my, you know, worries and panic or whatever, is this is it. Like, this is life. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the reasons that this has worked out for me is there is not one part of me that wishes I was still doing the job I did most recently. And it was fine for the time it was. There were great people at that company. I'm not trying to disparage them at all, but I was done. Like, it was over. I didn't want to be doing it anymore. And if I was still doing it now, I know I wouldn't be happy. And that helped too. Yeah.
Very good. All right. Life is short, robust plan, and we did a lot of due diligence. Like, you're very smart, adequate, and then Steve, our financial planner, he's a fucking pro. Like, he went through all this stuff. We actually had a couple smaller plans put together, not as comprehensive, but basically, like, we've done so much due diligence that, like, we both feel comfortable, and I believe probably through hearing other people, the longer that we're doing this, the longer that we're drawing down, and we're like, oh, we've been living a really good life. We're extremely like happy with our, you know, balance of expenses versus like what we're doing and where we're spending time and effort and all that kind of stuff. And there's a strong chance for the next few years we'll have a little bit more money than we did the previous year. I mean, that's the projection should work that way for a little bit. So great questions. And basically, the other part is it can be scary, but through planning and like knowing what parts you need to mitigate the on risk or making you feel better from a psychological standpoint, figure that part out. And you won't be able to cure it, but you can figure out like what makes you feel better.
I'm still, yes. And you talked about how much cash I have. I've always had a lot of cash on hand, so I'm not pulling anything out of my investments, but my cash balance is decreasing. And so, yeah, I kind of watched that go, and that's not fun. But the idea with our financial advisor is that we'll have this cash reserve. Hopefully when I need to replenish it, the market will be up and I'll just replenish my cash reserve. But yeah, I don't love watching that go down.
Right. Right. And I have, yeah.
The alternative is worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So next question, Sheila A says, does Elizabeth think she should have quit even earlier?
I am definitely a second guesser. I'm an optimizer. This is one I haven't really thought about that. Could I have quit earlier? Maybe. But I think the path that we took was the right path, and it brought us to where we are. I'm definitely a second guesser about so many things, and I haven't really second guessed my decision on that one too much. I think okay. I could have. I think I probably could have quit earlier. I think you wanted me to quit earlier, but I don't think I was ready.
Yeah. I think you could have quit earlier. We're in a good spot now, and I couldn't have like convinced you or otherwise to like quit sooner, and yeah, everything's good now. So, similar question from Todd N. Anything she would have done differently in the past 6 months looking back?
No.
All good now, right?
In the past 6 months? Like,
sure.
Just
yeah,
like
yeah.
From...
Yeah, yeah. Because you've been I can't remember if we mentioned this. You've been retired basically a year and 3.5 months or something.
Yeah. So I think I'm still struggling with my generosity a little bit. So that encompasses Christmas. And so I think that's the only thing I can really think of is maybe I would have been a little bit more generous. I mean, it is hard. I'm not miserly. I'm frugal. But
I think if you have to make the distinction.
It's pretty darn close. But I think I have gotten more generous with my family and my friends. And I don't know. You write $200. It's not nothing. I still don't think that's nothing. I think we could have $1 billion and I would still think $200 was worth something, but I don't know, a little extra gift or a little extra thought for someone here or there really makes a big difference in their day. So yeah, maybe I should have been a little bit more generous at times. Not with you.
I was like, oh, am I going to get better gifts? I'm like, yeah, this sounds good to me.
You're not getting any better gifts, whatever.
James T says, what did Doug say or what life changes convinced you to take the plunge of retiring?
Doug didn't say anything.
If anything, what I didn't say. Yeah. I made it worse.
If anything, Doug finally shut up. Because for a little while you were pretty forceful about it. So yeah, I think you finally stopped pressuring me. I think you were pretty good about walking the line.
It's very tough for you to say.
Yeah.
You know, I did something good.
I know.
I understand.
I think you were pretty good about walking the line between like telling me that you didn't want to listen to me complain anymore and not being like rude.
It's close.
It was close. Yeah. You straddled
it. Straddled
it for quite a while. You weren't wrong. Like nobody wants to hear you complain about your job, the global you. Yeah. Jobs in general, they're not fun and you have to deal with crap you don't like and nobody wants to hear about it. Like everyone with the job is dealing with that. So one, yeah, you stopped pressuring me. Two, you kind of told me you didn't want to hear it anymore. And I remember we had some fights about that because I'm like, who else am I going to talk to, man? Like, you got to listen to some of it. Mm-hmm. And then three, you were willing to entertain the notion of getting a financial advisor because I don't think you were completely on board with it, like, initially. And I kind of made it a little bit of a condition if we were going to go down this route to have a third party.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So. And it actually, I'm happy with it. It inspired an upcoming Camp Fi talk that I'm doing. And the thing is, like, whatever, a year, 2 years ago, I would have been like, yeah, there's no way I'm going to get an advisor like those people are trying to take your money. But there's value.
Yeah.
So there's definitely value.
So okay. You definitely did some things. Well done.
Thank you. All right. What are some of the unexpected benefits that you've experienced since retiring? That's from Seth E.
Unexpected benefits. That's a tough one. I don't know if I have any unexpected benefits. Like I knew I'd have more time to exercise, which I do. I spend a lot of time looking at my birds.
Oh, yeah. We have a bird buddy.
So silly.
Which is a bird feeder with a camera in it. And I got it for her for Christmas. And yeah, you got a little obsessed. You joined like the Wild Birds frequent cedar club. Yeah. I don't know what the fuck they call it.
That's something like that.
Anyway, you join that and you get like 10% off seed and other. Anyway, we have a bunch of feeders. There's a lot of birds. You got into a little battle with some birds you didn't want. So
I know.
We did some DIY cages around. Yeah, there's a whole thing. But you like your birds, right?
I do like my birds. I don't know if there really is any unexpected benefits.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't think of something that has happened that I didn't think would happen. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's a tough one. What do you think? Yeah.
I was going to say, there's two ways I want to spin it. So one, like I think you're like happier and more content than you thought you were going to be.
Maybe.
Because like we probably do it like twice a week. We're like, I can't most of our other friends, like outside of Longmont, they have like normal jobs. Some people that are like 5 to 10 years older than us, like they're still working. They're like, hopefully we can retire soon. It's just like, you guys like live kind of a normal-ish or same lifestyle as us, similar. No kids, again, similar. And I'm like, why the fuck did you guys not retire? Like, and maybe they like their jobs. People often say they like their jobs. But yeah, I think we thought maybe you would want like the structure or like whatever rewards of doing work that you get psychologically, but like you're much happier than you were like working probably any job that you had, right?
Yes.
Yeah. By far.
And an unexpected benefit, I think it's a benefit. I think I'm more aware of my mortality. I won't speak for anyone else, but for me, to your point, how did we ever work? I think there was just a lot of churn in my life, right? You get up, you get dressed, you go to work, you come home. You know, you don't have a lot of time to ponder. And I have a lot of time to ponder now. I think sometimes I feel like that maybe isn't a benefit, it's a curse, because I can get in my head and like, what is this all for? What is this about? And I even did that a little bit on the hike today. Yeah. I'm just like, I guess this is it. Me and you. Like, I think I even said to Doug, he's walking around with a shade umbrella, which is, you know.
I'll put a link in the description. The shade umbrella, Chris Emick told me about this. He's an avid hiker and outdoorsman. And he was like, yeah, I'm using this umbrella. It keeps you out of the sun. You know, he hikes out west in the desert, PCT. And anyway, it's really sunny. We're at like 10,000 feet here. So yeah, I'm walking around with a fucking umbrella. I look ridiculous.
I'm like, this
I look is, totally ridiculous.
You look amazing. I'm like, this is my life. I think that would be an unexpected benefit. And I will call it a benefit. I hope that I'm living my life in a more deliberate way and that I'm being more thankful for my health and the things that I have. And you certainly can do that with a full-time job. I wasn't, though. I don't think.
Oh, yeah.
And so having more time to ponder has made me, I think, be a little bit more appreciative. You even said, I've been nicer to you. You said that just a few days ago.
Don't let that go to your head. Yeah, you have been.
I have been nicer to you. I've been more appreciative of...
all the cleaning.
I already mentioned the cleaning. You're such an excellent cook.
Thank you.
You know, and...
food just happens.
It does...
As does
the dishes.
I did all the dishes this morning.
Get out of here.
I did. Look at all those over there.
All right.
There's a dishwasher here. Okay. Oh, yeah. It's about you. It's about you.
I'm the dishwasher. That's what the point was. I'm the dishwasher.
Yeah. You do really good at it, though.
Thank you.
But you wouldn't want me to do the food and cook. Then you would feel like, oh, what am I even here for?
That's my birthday week. Remember? That's my birthday week.
Yeah, that's true.
I do like getting to eat.
A whole week?
Yes. Because it used to be just a day and that wasn't enough.
All right. Sorry. Before we get, that was good. So there was a second part that we'll get into. But before we do that, we do have a handful of questions. If people want to check out the Facebook group, I try to pop in there, but I'm not really good at Facebook. I try to stay out. But you can join if you have a question or you want to comment over there. That's a good place to go. Also, I have set up a few ways to support the show. When I told you about it, but I don't think I've mentioned all the different products and stuff, but we're an affiliate. So we get a commission if you check out the chili pad, which we don't have here. And I really wish I had my chili pad because it's so warm in the upstairs brick building. Even though it doesn't get as hot during the day, like the sun warms this place up. It takes a while to cool down. I wish I had my chili pad.
Everything that we have purchased as in our lives, I don't think anyone has changed. Anything has changed our lives more, both of us, than your chili pad.
The chili pad. Yep.
It's and been
our
huge.
Dear friend Jake, he actually gave me the chili pad that I'm using. He had an old one. He upgraded. And Jake has been on the show and you may see him at Camp Fies and other events out there. But if it broke, I would immediately buy another one. And
I would support that.
Yep. So you got the chili pad out there and it ain't cheap. It's, I think like the cheapest one is $500 or $600. And then if you get the higher tier, it might be like $1,200. And there's a couple things.
You used to complain every morning about how hot you were when you slept and you never do anymore.
No. And I put it down the lowest cooling that it could possibly do. Anyway.
That's it. Go on. Sorry.
Yeah. Chili pad's good. I created a couple lists over on Amazon. So if you want to get the sexy sunshade umbrella that I use personally to go hiking, you can check that out. I also put my like sleep supplements, the other supplements. I have other outdoor gear, my backpack, trekking poles.
Shoes,
yeah. So I started using these Zero shoes. It's a local company out of Colorado. I think they're in Broomfield or something. But anyway, the shoes are made overseas, but they are extremely durable, very flexible. I need like a wide toe box, and they're flat. They feel really good. Some people are into feet. Some people aren't, you know. We'll get comments over on the YouTube side.
Great.
I held my feet up in front of the camera. So it's 4K. That's why we get the good camera gear. Okay, so if you want to support the show, you can check out those things. If you want to get something, if you just want to donate, that's cool too. Over at Buy Me a Coffee, you get episodes like this one. I'm actually going to publish it early because it's not going to come out for a little while. So the people at Buy Me a Coffee will be able to take a look at a portion or a clip and that sort of thing. So anyway, thanks for supporting the show. We obviously lost our sponsor, Ghostbed. They were good, but I don't want to, you know, they stopped sponsoring us. So we're not going to talk about it too much. But yeah, they worked with us for a while. And we don't have sponsors, and I kind of don't want to have sponsors and just like cover the show ourselves. We just need a couple people to like move over to Mint Mobile. Like we just need a little bit. Like the commissions are so small. We need a couple people, a few people each month to just pay for the software. So, all right. Ready for the next part of the question?
Sure.
So, unexpected things. You mentioned you maybe like to do just one thing per day, like one big thing per day. It doesn't mean you won't like go to the gym and do other things. But we have had days where you were too busy. We had dinner plans. You had lunch plans. You had something in the morning. Can you talk about how much stuff you want to do in a day?
I feel like you kind of just did.
Basically, you're saying no. You're like, I got too much, and you'll turn things down if you're like, this is too much.
Yeah, like one thing a day. One of the most important things in my life is Georgie. And if I don't feel like I have spent enough time with her, that doesn't make me feel good. And that's the afternoon walk, which I'm carefully wording so she doesn't think I'm asking her to do it. So I do that. I like sit and pet her in the evenings, play with her after. Like there's a whole assortment of Georgie activities. And I think maybe that's kind of how I decide. Like if I don't get time with her during the day, that's too much stuff planned. And so I gotta have my Georgie time.
Right. How many hours a day do you think is appropriate for one of us to be with her?
I'd say, yeah, like all but like one. I mean, she's such a sweetheart. And I know she has her issues, but she loves us so much.
She does.
I mean, we wake up with her like it's the first thing we talk about when we wake up. It's the last thing we talk about before we go to bed. She's joyful. She's fun.
She's getting frustrated with us talking here.
So I think that's how I decide. I just...
How much time you want to make sure she's taken care of.
Yeah.
And you don't want to miss too many days in a row, like for the afternoon walk or play or whatever.
And I don't trust you to give her what she needs.
I don't play with her as much.
No.
I used to, but she has... She's getting older. She has some shoulder issues. I used to take her out and throw the frizz.
And when
I shouldn't even have said
that. Yeah, you shouldn't have said that.
And she has so many words.
When I say one thing a day, and you mentioned the gym, like the gym doesn't count as like one thing a day. I think I mean like one social thing. So if I'm meeting a friend for lunch and then meeting a friend for coffee or something, and then also having like a German tutoring lesson, that's too many. That's too many things for me.
Yeah.
I really do need a lot of downtime to refuel. I'm an introvert.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
This is from Kate Y. So you mentioned you are enjoying your time, but do you miss the structured work week?
No. Thanks, Kate.
Yeah, not at all. And I worked for many years, and I also, like, for whatever reason, like we very gradually moved out of our like structured work week to where we were working at home, which allows you so much flexibility. So like for, I don't know, over 10 years, we were pretty much like accustomed, or one or both of us were accustomed to not having the normal work week structure.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we talked about that earlier. We were trying to figure out how many years of our professional careers, we actually went into the office every day, 8 to 5, Monday through Friday. And even though we had full-time jobs for most of it, it was not often. It was like 3 consecutive years. And even, for instance, when I worked at a hospital, I had a great boss who appreciated flexible work schedules because she had young kids as well. And so we would, you know, work 4/10s and have Fridays off. So yeah, somehow we just found a way.
Yep. Okay. So last question here, and then we'll take a quick pause, and then we'll get into your the list of things that you mentioned. So
okay.
This one is from our friend, Diana Merriam. You got to meet Diana. And was it the first time you met her when she was out here
Yes.
a couple of weeks ago? Cool. So this is a good one. While I'm sure she likes you, how do you manage so much time together? Or do you have enough independent interests that you have enough space away from each other? My Midwestern gentleman is done with work at the end of the year. I wonder how so much time together will feel since I'm used to having him gone during the day and having the house to myself.
Well, first of all, I just want to say I love that phrase, my Midwestern gentleman.
It's great.
It is. It's fancy yet homey. I constantly marvel that I seem to like you as much as I do with as much time as we've spent together. Mm-hmm. I think you help with the time that we spend together, because I think a lot of the day you don't want to talk to me. And I will try to talk to you, and you're just like, I don't have time for you right now. So I think I have figured that out some. I spend time with Georgie. And in terms of the separate interests that she mentioned, I do think we do a lot of things independently.
Curling, for example. Like, yeah, we literally have independent hobbies where, like, we could have, we learned curling in Bozeman. Mm-hmm. We played on a couple leagues together. And then you picked it up here. And I was like, you maybe even mentioned, like, hey, I want it to be my thing. And I was like, cool. And then I think you even asked me to join a couple of times. And I was like, nah, I don't want to do it.
I think we both enjoy the trips that we take without each other too. And you do your conferences. I don't do conferences like you do, but I'll have some trips, and we travel separately because of our dog a lot. And I think that helps too, is having the periodic completely solo time. Mm-hmm. And I always miss you a lot for like the first, I don't miss you.
Strike for the first couple of days.
For the first couple of days, I really enjoy having the time to myself. And then after like day two, where I'm like, you know what? I'm ready for you to come home.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that is actually pretty big too. And if we didn't have, those, once a quarter, once every 3 months, like time apart, I could see it getting old pretty quick.
Yeah. Yep. And I think, so that's a good, all those are great points. I agree. We've also, let's think about the house too, because like the quarterly trips, and like we actually have like, we have some common friends, but we also have like independent friends where like I'm not hanging out with certain people that you hang out with, like you're more friends with them. And like same with me, I've been doing some music stuff, you've been doing like German language learning stuff. Let's think about inside the house. So we actually have, we've lived in different places, sometimes apartments, and like that's where maybe, Diana used to have like the whole house to herself, but now Midwestern gentleman is going to be hanging out, and you got to figure that out. Do you have any tips or observations when we were in closer quarters?
You have always, everywhere we've lived, and this is my fault, you've always had your own space, and I've never had mine. I don't have my own space anymore. You've even taken over my old office. You've turned it into a music room. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I do think even when we were in the condo 2-2, that other bedroom was basically yours. And I think I do a pretty good job respecting your like work zone and not going into it. Because I know when I come down, and you've got your headphones on, and I'm like, hey, Doug.
Yeah, here you're coming, and then I'm like, oh, I gotta put the headphones on fast.
But that,
I look like I'm doing, I'm like, yeah,
yeah. He's never on a call. But that helps. That for sure helps.
Having your own space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though I don't have mine, I hear it helps. It helps that you... It helps.
You have your space. Yeah, yeah.
Where is my space?
I don't know. Yeah. No, you did have a space. I did bring the guitar in that one room. But we've been working on a duet together. She's on the banjo. I'm on the flat pick. Doing some bluegrass tunes.
I think also for Diana, honesty helps, like courageous communication. I think that was one of our like core tenets at my previous job, which is pretty funny. But anyway, yeah, if you need some time, just don't be afraid to say, hey, I need some space.
Is now a bad time to mention something that's been bothering me?
No, it's always a good time, especially on air. Yeah. What's been bugging you?
No. That's all good.
But yeah, I know I'm kind of making a joke, but I do think that has helped us.
Yeah, totally. Own like, space, own time.
No. Clear communication.
The thing is, I'm a good listener.
Ooh. So I was just tooling around on Instagram and I saw this post. Should I say who it's?
Sure. I was going to say, when I read it, I saw it as Drammy Shaw.
I think it's Dr. Amy Shaw or Drammy Shaw. And it just kind of spoke to me. And it says, whoa, apparently there's music. It says, the six luxuries of life, a healthy body, a calm mind, slow mornings, the ability to travel, which I thought was interesting since we are traveling right now, a few people that love you, and time to do what you love. And I don't know, that just kind of spoke to me as I have these moments of existential crisis, like, what am I doing? Like, I am literally leading a luxurious life. Mm-hmm. Which of those do you think that we're struggling with?
That we're struggling with?
Yeah.
I don't think any. Yeah, we have... I mean, really, probably the hardest one is the healthy body. I haven't been sleeping as well recently. I think part of it is summertime, so the lights are brighter or the sun's brighter, and I'm like not sleeping quite as much. And I'm also drinking a little bit more beer as it's warmed up. I think we did a mostly dry January. And then I did a beer judging event for like 4 days straight. And it was it was a serious one. So I practiced judging for a couple weeks ahead of time. And then since then, I sort of like started drinking a little bit more, which is generally pretty unhealthy. And then it's just, you know, a lot of people that are in our circle of friends, they may just drink like on the weekend or like a social event, like a special occasion during the week, but we're more like, not you, actually, you've cut back quite a bit, but I'll drink beer on a daily basis, like a few beers. So
it's delicious.
It is good. We have been doing more hop water, but like, it's definitely like a habit that I'll get into and I enjoy many aspects of it, which is unfortunate. And that's why it becomes a little bit of a habit and generally unhealthy. Otherwise though, like we're very active and we go to the gym, so that is... But that would be the one, the health one. What about you?
Definitely a calm mind. Mm. I work on a calm mind. But my only criticism when I looked at this list in a little bit more detail on here is a few people that love you. I think there should also be the reverse. You need to love some people. I don't know, but maybe that isn't the luxury. The luxury is actually having people who love you. All right, I take it back. I like it. Yeah, I mean, to have people that love you and care about you, it's pretty amazing and definitely not something to be taken for granted. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Georgie loves us. I think it's fake love. Like, it's usually, like, she's whining at us right now. Yeah. She either wants food or she wants to play.
She wants to play.
But the other one that I really loved was slow. Oops, sorry. The other one that I really loved was slow mornings. And that has been... Maybe the like an unexpected thing that came up, like slow mornings are awesome. Mm-hmm. Like to get up, have your coffee, not be rushed, think about your day, just like tool around a little bit. I love my slow mornings. And when I have to set an alarm, which I probably only have to do maybe like 5 times a year, man, I hate it.
Yeah. Yep. Well, it depends on what it's for. Sometimes we wake up early to do something fun like a hike. But yeah, a couple things. I was surprised you were like, oh, what are we struggling with? I thought you were going to be like, oh, what parts are we doing good? Because it's like most of the time you can do like, if we're doing like 80% good most of the time, like that's good enough. It's like, I'm not trying to do anything perfect. But a couple issues, like one, it's weird. They described it as a luxurious life. And I think there's a semantic argument there, which is interesting. The thing that I like the most, you talked about the leisurely morning, and I really like not being in a rush, like hardly ever. When I see other people in a rush, I'm like, they don't have control of their time, and or they left late or something like that. But like, that's one of the biggest things. Like when I see someone who's not in a rush, I'm like, oh, they got to figure it out. And I feel like most of the time, I'm not in a rush, or I'm like, oh, you know what? I could stop and I see whatever Carl or Eric at the gym and stop and talk to him for like 15 or 20 minutes because probably they're not in a huge rush and we're just working out, doing something active. But yeah, I think having like that time freedom, that's the biggest one for me.
And I'm pretty mean to you, actually. When you get frazzled because you've got too much going on, like, I think I'm pretty mean because I tell you, hey, you had full control over this.
Right. So very rare, though, these days.
Settle down.
Yeah. Is it more, like, I feel like it's more rare. It's occasionally, like, every now and then.
Rare that I'm mean or rare that you overextend?
Both.
Okay.
No.
So yeah, yeah. It's you're
there
doing,
was
yeah,
one day
you're doing better.
There was one day last week where I did like two things in the morning, but I was like, you know what? There's a little flexibility in the schedule, just worked out that way. And I was like, you know what? Like, I don't have anything like the next 3 days. So like if I do a lot in this like morning time frame where I have again two things, which I never would have planned it that way, but it worked out okay. Okay. Very good. Thanks for doing the update. Do you have any other thoughts or things to share with the audience out there? Everybody really wanted to have you back on. I've been trying to convince you. And then, in a weak moment, you said, yeah, okay, I'll do this episode.
No, I appreciate that your listeners like to hear my story. I don't want to come on very often because to the question that came in, maybe from Diana, like having separate interests is a good thing. And so I like that the podcast is yours and not mine and that, you know, we're separate. But I think it's nice and I'm honored. I think that some people feel like I've helped them. So.
Puzzles me too. Yeah. Just no, I'm just kidding. Yeah. And so many people, when I met them at conferences and stuff, when they have a few minutes to chat with me. Yeah. Shocking number of people say that they really enjoy and they relate to you in your story.
I think that's great. I'm really, I think, shocked and surprised that this has worked out, like how well it has worked out so far. And I'm talking about our marriage. I'm talking about the retirement.
This episode right now. Yeah,
I'm talking about my life in general. And to go back to the time to ponder, I know that nothing is certain and nothing is forever. And I'm really just trying to lean in and enjoy where I am right now and life and health and happiness because one day we'll be gone. And one day we'll be sick and our family members will be sick and everything is just so good right now. Mm. So I'm trying not to let it bring me down, yeah. Which is my inclination, right? So yeah, that's my closing, I guess. Thanks. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you.
I'll see you around.
You've been a good guest. And I hope to see you soon.
Get out of here.
Thanks for listening to the show. That was the Mile High Five podcast, and I'm Doug Cunnington. If you dig the show, please do three things for us. Number one, tell a friend, a family member, an enemy about the show. We really don't care who you tell. Maybe forward them a specific show that you know that they will like. It's the single most helpful thing that you can do to spread the word. It's like giving us a virtual high five, and actually we don't give high fives in person, so the virtual kind's pretty good. And more importantly, your friend or family member or even your enemy will appreciate the fact that you were thinking of them. Number two, make sure you're following or subscribed on your podcast app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast, YouTube, whatever you're using, and that way you won't miss a show. And number three, please leave us a rating and review. We read them on the show occasionally, and you might hear yours out there on an upcoming episode. Quick disclaimer, this show is not financial or legal advice. I'd actually be surprised if it sounded like it. It's really just for entertainment, and that's at least what we're hoping for. But seriously, get advice from professionals. So we'll catch y'all next week. We're in a small town called Victor, Colorado. What do you think of this town of 400 people?
It's a very small town. I like that it's very small. We've been hiking almost by ourselves, and we've been able to have Georgie off leash, which has been really great. But I think it would get old after a while.
Yeah. The downtown is reasonably sized, but probably at least half of the places are like falling down on the inside. There's a handful of shops. There's not really a grocery store. Yeah, it's very quiet, but it's also like there's not very much here. I think, and we're supposed to stay here for like about 2 weeks in a few months. And you're questioning that, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure that's going to happen. I do like how quiet it is for sure. Like I said, we've been able to have her off leash a lot of the time, but I also like our house a lot, and I miss it. And the place we're staying, where we're recording this, is very nice. However, it doesn't have AC, and even though it cools off a lot in the evenings, I do miss air conditioning. And this place isn't cool enough, I think, to stay for 12 nights without air conditioning.
Right.
For me.
Yeah. And it's tough. I did not bring my chili pad. And that is a big deal. It was probably, I don't think there was a way for us to check the temp here, but basically like it was probably 80 degrees at night, at least.
You think
In here.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. I'm not sure. But anyway, it's definitely like hot enough where neither of us slept that well.
So as you know, I can worry about anything, and I do. And I was thinking about being here in a town of 400 people. There's probably not local police. But then I thought, with 400 people, everyone knows everyone. And so I feel like there might not be any crime, because if you did something, everyone would know who it was.
Yeah.
It's like a self-policed.
Yeah.
They take care of it themselves here in Victor.
There is like a city hall down there, and I walked past it, and it's like the satellite police station or whatever. So it's like there is a spot, but yeah, not very many people.
Probably not, right? I saw police. I drove to Cripple Creek to get gas, and I saw a police car there. Like an SUV police car there just a few minutes ago.
Gotcha.
Yeah, but probably not around here.
No, I don't think so. Not enough people. And speaking of not very many people, each morning when Georgie and I went out, just like 50 steps around the corner, we've seen these young foxes. Mm. I was like, is that a fox? And yeah. So they were like playing around together. It was pretty fun. So we went the other direction because I was like, they look fun and playful, and they were playing with each other, but I'm like, yeah, but they don't. Georgie wouldn't mix well with them.
Another side note I've thought about in our little welcome book, the closest medical center is where we got gas in Woodland Park, which is like or something like that, which is like 45 minutes away.
Right.
Which made me think of my graduate, like the head of my graduate program. One of the things he did when he was in school was he went around rural Georgia and they taught basic life saving skills to the people in that community. So not nurses or whatever, but like, just like me and you, we live out in the middle of nowhere. And they measured, I think, like, I don't know, mortality rates or just, I don't know, how people did in emergencies. Because if something happened here, like, let's say I have a heart attack, it's going to take a minimum of 45 minutes for someone to get here, or if I cut myself or whatever. And so I thought about that as remote as we are. I mean, there isn't an urgent care center.
There's nothing.
There's nothing.
Interesting. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Small town, very quiet. And I think if you, if you want quiet, like this would be a decent place to check out. But yeah, there's not like a lot of interesting restaurants or any kind of other stuff going on.
And here's the thing. I really don't need this time to reconnect with you. Like I can
see. That'll come in a question that we're going to ask coming up here.
I totally can see like if we were both working full time and you get to go on vacation and it's like, hey, what's been going on with you? You know, and you get to reconnect with your family. I am fully connected.
You're too connected. You need a break.
Yeah.